Okay, today's the 1st of October 2020, and in this wonderful year of what we've been talking about, but wanted to have the opportunity to talk to Robin Harris in our series of discussions and visits with the different people that have been connected with Western Dubuque in different ways. So Robin, why don't you take us back to your early years before you actually ever got connected here, and growing up was where?
Oh, I grew up in right along the Mississippi River, but our address was Hazel Green, Wisconsin, but we were 2 miles from Dubuque. And I went to...
Was this on a farm or...?
Yeah, it was on a farm. Okay. Mm-hmm. We had a farm, a family farm. So I was only a farmer's daughter by heart. I didn't have to go and do the work. Just the boys helped out and stuff.
How many
we had three
family?
families on this farm, an aunt, another family, and us. And in our family, I have a sister and three brothers, and then my mom and dad. And so they built a home on the farm in 1955 or something like that. And then we grew up there, went to Keeler. All of us went to Keeler grade school, which was St. Mary's Catholic School in Keeler. And then most of the students from Keeler went to Hazel Green High School. But I wanted to go on to college, I thought. So it was Hazel Green was more of a going to a, like, what do you call that school when they do trade, a trade school type
trade
thing.
School, yeah.
It was a good high school, but I went to Waller. Our whole family went to Waller.
Okay.
And so then after graduating from Waller, I went to University of Platteville. And met Denny along the way. And
how'd that happen?
At the Call-In Supper Club.
Well, tell us about that.
When I was 13, I was babysitting. And for the Call-In, the mom and dad, they all lived upstairs at the Call-In. And I started out babysitting. And then their youngest daughter loved Denny. And so she would always run downstairs. He just came to... They played softball for the Call-In.
Played for the Call-In.
Visited afterwards. And then along with the rest of the team. And then my cousin and I, who we both lived on the farm, we both worked on there. I babysat, and they served meals on Friday nights. So the youngest daughter would always run downstairs. And if you know Jane Peterson, that was Jane Cawley. She was one of the ones I babysat for, but she didn't run downstairs. And then I had to go collect her off of Denny. So I met Denny through the Call-In. And then I was only 13. And so then he went into the service, and I was still in high school. And then he came back from the service, and I went to Platteville. And then when I was in Platteville, we started dating a bit and then decided to get married. And I only had 2 years of college in. So we moved back, or I moved to Thunder Hills. They were building our home at the time. So I knew I couldn't continue with college and build a home and everything. So it was 1974, and they happened to have what they called a teacher aide, a para job, but it was a teacher aide at Farley open. And Denny played basketball for Tom Wickham, so I thought, well, maybe I'd have an in. But I went and talked to Tom Wickham, and the next week he called me back and hired me and for a teacher's aide. So I was a teacher's aide from 74, 75, 75, 76. And I worked for Tim Showalter and Shirley Oberding in their classrooms. They had a teacher's aide for every two classrooms at the time. And Sally Hydock, who was from Thunder Hills here, she apparently really wanted me to come down to the fifth grade area. But they put me out in sixth grade. And I loved it. Absolutely loved working for Shirley Oberding as... Learned so much about being a teacher. Love working with Tim Showalter because he taught me how much fun teaching can be. And so it was a great, great combination. And at that time, if the teacher was gone, the teacher aide, if they couldn't get a sub, the teacher aide could teach. Well, those were my best days around because they were gone and I could teach. And I knew I had to go back to school. My dad had died in the process in 75, and I promised him that I would finish college because I was the first one in our family to go to college. And so, and during the summers, though, I wanted to work because I'm not a person to sit around. So they needed secretarial help in the elementary, middle school office. And so Tom had me come in and work a couple of weeks there. Also, a lady by the name of Sharon Barr was the librarian, and she was leaving. And she was a great librarian, very creative, but the library was a mess. So we had to reorganize the card catalog. So I worked much of that summer in the elementary, but then they asked me to come up to the administration office to help out too. And I did that both summers. And in 1976, Mr. Drexler came out and asked me if I would consider being a secretary for Millie Klosterman. They're going to open a position up. And I really loved the people in that office, but I didn't like working there because it was real serious. And I'm not a secretary, and I'm not a very serious person. So I thanked him, and I said no, that I was really going to go back to college. I already knew that. And he said, well, call me when you graduate. And then I thought I should have had put that in writing because jobs were so hard to get at that point in time. But in 2 years, in 1978, I was going to graduate. So I called him and I told him that I was student teaching for Geraldine McCarthy and that I was graduating in May and I was looking for a position if there was one open.
And where were you at? Which college were you going?
Oh, I transferred from Platteville to the University of Dubuque.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to drive that far. But my classes were all through Clark because that's where the education was. It was Tri-College then. But Clark would not accept my transcript as was, and I didn't want to go to school. I would have to pick another major like math or science or language arts. That's what you had to graduate at the time there, not elementary education. University of Dubuque, I could do elementary education with an early childhood emphasis, but they didn't have that at the time. So I did a history minor because I was only two classes away from finishing it. And I love history, but I didn't want to teach history in high school or anything. So anyway, I graduated then in 1978 with an elementary major and a history minor. And then Mr. Drexler said he'd let me know. And at that time, I don't know her first name anymore, but Mrs. Heights was teaching at Farley.
Mm-hmm.
And Francis Heights. And he told me this later. He thought she was retiring, so that would have been the position. But she decided not to. So a position opened up at Placid at Shared Time. Mrs. I can't think of her name right now. But anyway, she was going to quit teaching. And so apparently he called Geraldine McCarthy, then called me and said, Geraldine would like to meet you down there. So I really wasn't even interviewed. I just was offered. Geraldine tried to talk me into taking the job because, like, yeah, I'll take the job. So then I taught at Shared Time, and I taught 24 students from Epworth St. Pat's in the morning, but I only taught math and science and language arts, and they taught reading at St. Pat's. And at noon, they switched. So I had two groups of children, and I did that for, let's see, 1981. And then, if I remember correctly, there was something with the state and it wasn't
legal
to have shared time, to have for public schools to be in a Catholic school setting or something like that. So I was then laid off or got pink slip. But I was number 11 or 12 to get laid off. So the first one to come back. And Mr. Drexler thought for sure that I'd be called back. So then when I was called back, there were 10 or 11 positions open, so I had my pick. So at that point in time, my love was always early childhood. So there was a part-time position at Dyersville Elementary that Jean Mahdi had, but she was down lower in the totem pole. So I picked that feeling terrible because I thought she wanted part-time, but I had just had a baby and I wanted to stay home or be home one more. It was our second coming, so I accepted part-time over in Dyersville. And I taught
the kindergarten.
Mm-hmm. And
who was there? Was the Virginia?
It was
Link?
Virginia. No, Jenny Natterman had transferred over there.
Okay.
And Jean Coppola and myself.
Yeah.
And then the principal was a lady.
I'm trying to think who that was.
Oh, a bigger lady, very very nice.
I started in Dyersville with the shared time program, and I had the kindergarten. and the fourth grade at Xavier.
Was at Corton
Camp. But by that time, yeah, Corton Camp and Warning Hall. But by that time, I already had moved on to the with WIC at the junior high.
Okay, so you were over there before I came over there.
Right, yeah.
And so I was there, I taught 3 years, and then they told me that I was going to be cut. And I would have to find, you know, pick another job. And I remember loading my stuff up in the back of Denny's truck and crying all the way home because I thought, this is the job I loved and now I'm leaving it. But I had begun to get a reading endorsement. So there was a title reading position open. And so Trish Warner at the time was just coming in to lead that department. It was in my mind at that point in time, I really didn't want to go into reading because it seemed like anybody who really couldn't teach went into the reading program. But Trish came and changed all of that. I mean, turned out to be a really good program. So I taught part-time at Epworth Elementary in reading probably for about 4 or 5 years. Then Art Hinker came back and asked me if I would go back to Dyersville and teach kindergarten. And I really wanted to, but I didn't want to get back over there and be the low person again and then get cut again. They go, no, that's not going to happen. So I went back over there teaching every other day. And then when Brian, in 1991, Brian was going to school. So I was ready to go back full time. So I called Mr. Drexler on the phone once again and said, you know, I'm really interested in coming back full time. And he was so great about letting us do part time. And then here he was asking to come back full time. And he said, yep, I have a job for you. So I taught kindergarten in Dyersville one day, and I taught title reading at Bernard the next day.
Okay.
And so the worst part of that was in title reading, you should see the kids every single day. But I only saw them every other day, but I was supposed to see them twice a day, morning and afternoon, to try to make up for it. That was just his way of saying, here, we can fill you in and get you back in here. So I did that. And then they cut me in Dyersville. But at the time, Farley was really low on numbers in kindergarten. And Mary Sweeney was a kindergarten teacher. And they were going to go to a half-time kindergarten position. And I heard that, so I called Mr. Drexler up again. And I said, would you ever consider let me teach in Farley and in Dyersville? Or in Farley and in Bernard. And that was a kindergarten position by this time down in Bernard. They changed it from reading to they needed a part-time kindergarten until I did that. And he said, well, first we have to offer that to Mary Sweeney. I said, okay. So she didn't want to travel. So I once again walked into the job with Bernard and Farley. And it was I had three little kids and probably the hardest point in time in my life because I had two kindergarten classrooms to keep up on, putting the papers up and all the bulletin boards and cutting all this stuff out, and I was in two different places and I never had what I needed at the right spot, and my car became a filing cabinet. But it was great. It was what I loved doing, so that worked out good. I did that for 2 years and the numbers grew back at Farley. And so I was having 27 and 28 in a classroom. Then all of a sudden there was like 40. And so they were going to make it a full-time job. So then Mr. Dresser came back down and talked to me again and said, we really have to offer this to Mary Sweeney because she went to half-time reading, or she went to title reading. And I was just sick because I thought, oh, she'll take it back. But she didn't want it back. Yeah. So then I stayed at Farley in kindergarten the rest of the time. They built a new building in 93, I think.
Sounds right.
Something like that. And we moved from the middle school area, which was the best kindergarten classroom around, over to the new, and I had a very nice kindergarten classroom in the new Farley building. And then we moved from there to the new wing, which was going to be early childhood at the time in Farley. So I ended up teaching kindergarten probably about 28 years.
Okay. That's incredible, Robin, as far as what you went through as far as different positions. And
I know, but you know, it always was catered around my family at the time. Right. So you do what you have to do. And I loved reading. In the meantime, I got my early childhood degree because we were trying to become some school with the state. And so if I had early childhood, so I went to get my early childhood through the University of Dubuque so that I could have taught preschool. And I would have done that before I retired because I really wasn't totally ready to retire besides taking care of the grandkids. But I would have taught preschool because kindergarten, preschool became what kindergarten was when I started.
Okay.
You know, I mean, we became so academic in those last years. And preschool, you had fun. You could take the time to have fun.
Yeah.
But it would have wrecked my IPers to lose that year of wages of going part-time, more or less, because it was 4/5 contract or whatever.
Yeah.
So it didn't benefit me to do that. So,
How about some memories of people you worked with down through the years?
Ann Lubisi was my first, when I taught fourth grade, she was like a mentor before you had mentors. And she was an awesome fourth grade teacher. My kids had her in the later years, but it was before. But she, you know, she was one that worked right with you. Talk about collaboration. Geraldine taught collaboration long before that word ever came up. And so, you know, I had a really good leader there. Then I went to Dyersville, and it was Jenny Noderman and Jean Capola and myself. And myself being very young in kindergarten, I had all kinds of wild ideas to try. But Jean Capola was a real mentor. I mean, she loved teaching kindergarten. And she, I would say, Mike, how do I do this? If you're doing the calendar and then you got to teach math. And she said, if you don't get math in that day, if you've done a good job teaching calendar, you've did all kinds of math. So she was another great person in that early childhood field who really, really loved it. And even though, if you know Jean Capola, she has very strong opinions. And even though we would... We challenge each other because I would want to do something like have a pool party, and she thought it was absolutely nuts. But it would let me go by with it because, you know, she thought, oh, she's nuts. But it always worked out for me. So she was another great person that, you know, I mentored after. And then I don't know if you remember B.J. Schneider. Mr. Schneider was at the high school.
Yeah.
And his wife taught title reading at Epworth Elementary. Okay. They had two sons.
Right, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Actually, B.J. Schneider went to be on principal. I don't know if she still is. But
where'd they ever go? I have no idea.
They both got cut, he got cut.
They weren't here that long.
No, they were only here a couple of years.
Yeah.
Then they moved, and they went to another school. And then he got into some trouble. And almost lost his license. I saw her at some meetings. And I don't think it was fair, but you know how things work. In the state of Iowa, I think he lost his teaching license and was so depressed, she thought he was going to take his life.
Is it Ron Snyder?
I can't remember his first name.
I think it was Ron.
BJ, because I didn't know him as well as BJ. But BJ was a reading teacher with me. And once again, as you're trying to teach and manage your family at home, and she was always, you know, had some really good advice. I remember her saying one day, Robin, I was trying to fix Beth's hair and I wanted to look nice, and she's fighting me, we're going to be late for school. I come in and she says, Robin, you got to pick your battles sometimes. And I said, you're right, but this battle I'm winning because I'm in charge of morning. And she just started laughing. But she was another great person. Geraldine McCarthy was my all-time favorite respectable person. She taught me so much about reading when I was teaching title reading. And I was getting my reading endorsement, and I remember Trish Warner, who took over the reading program, our scores were always so much higher than any other school. And she said, how'd that happen? Are you guys, you know, doing something, pre-teaching the test? And no, it's just the way Geraldine teaches. And she, when kids left her room, they knew how to read and write. And
yeah. And
so she was another remarkable person that anybody that had worked underneath her learned so much.
Tom and I, mostly Tom, but I helped out a little bit, tried to get the school named for Geraldine. And who would be more deserving than
her?
That was such a bogus.
Did it ever name the library of it?
Yeah.
Is it the McCarthy, Geraldine McCarthy Library?
Yeah.
Is it on there?
I don't know.
It should be.
Yeah, it should be.
It should be. Because she was an icon at Epworth Elementary. Oh. And there's not a person that taught under her that would have a bad word to say.
No.
You didn't have to be orange at that time. You could go in and, but the atmosphere, she had high expectations of all of her teachers, and everybody lived up to that. But she ran such, the atmosphere of that school was always so warm and friendly, and she backed you 100%.
Can I tell you a story?
Yeah.
Geraldine, you know, she rarely went any place other than connect to go to work and all that stuff. But this was like in the 70s, mid-70s maybe. Anyway, there was a convention, administrators convention, going to be in Las Vegas. And so, I don't know if you remember Kay Smutka.
That's who the principal was at, yes. That's who it was in Dyer's when I was there. Kay Smutka. I do remember her.
Somehow Kay talked Geraldine into going. And Susie and I were going. Back then you had a chartered plane to take all the teachers and administrators and whoever. So I got on this plane in Des Moines. As soon as we took off, there was an open bar. Kay always liked to drink pretty good. Well, she got totally bombed. And so we landed in Las Vegas. And Kay couldn't even walk, so we got off the plane and they found a wheelchair, and we put Kay in the wheelchair, and Geraldine is pushing her through the airport, and Kay's going woo, like she's a train. If you can imagine Geraldine. I know she never went to another conference.
That was it, huh? I'm surprised she got her to go, because...
Yeah, that's what surprised me, because she rarely went any place, but...
She was a great lady.
Oh, yeah.
And then another person that impacted my life was Trish Warner. It just so happened we met up, because I transferred to title reading, and she was taking over the program. And then when I went to Bernard to teach title reading, she happened to be the principal down there and the title reading. And then I went to Dyersville, and she was a principal back. I mean, it was just, we followed each other without even knowing it. And then then you left to go to the high school,
right.
And she came in and was the assistant there for a while.
Okay.
And then when they made the elementary school, Trish Warner moved down to be the principal in the elementary school. And
where's Trish at?
No. Trish is in Loveland, Colorado now with her husband, Gary.
Okay.
And so she led up that school, I mean, built, and her biggest thing when we started was the culture. We've got to have a great culture in the school, which I just left at Epworth Elementary with this wonderful culture. But Trish built that school, and Farley Elementary was a great elementary school too. And she and Geraldine worked well together between the two schools. But if there was an initiative or anything going, Trish was on top of it. Our school tried so many things, and she was just a wonderful leader and a model for us. I mean, if we were working nights, she was right there with us. She didn't ask us to do anything that she wouldn't participate in. And so it was amazing. I mean, she was really good. She often, in our evaluation type things, always would recommend that I should get my principal. And I thought, first of all, I love teaching too much. Second of all, I'm afraid that if people didn't work the way I wanted them to work, I would think less of them. And everyone teaches differently. Just because I want to work till 5 o'clock, not everybody does, you know. So I kept saying to her, no, I don't think I can do a good enough job. And then as the years went on, and everything that you guys had to do and all, I thought, I'm so glad I didn't get involved. And I love teaching. And so it was Trish. And then in my later years, Marshall Pleaser and I worked so well together. I never had a coworker in all the years I've taught kindergarten until probably the last 12, or when Farley added the second kindergarten. And then we went to four, and then we went back to two, and it was just Marshall and I. Okay. But working with someone on your grade level was amazing. Just the sharing of ideas and things. So, yeah, so Marshall would probably be the last person that I was.
Isn't that amazing when you think back about it, all of the different initiatives that came through the system. All of a sudden you're working with something, this new idea.
Mm-hmm.
And you think back about it, and a lot of it was just recycled stuff.
It was, exactly. You know, when we started the behavior initiative.
Okay.
All right. So then, and we worked, Jim Motti, we went down to Des Moines once a month, and you know, and we had to do all these different things in our school to change all what we were doing behavior-wise. It was wonderful. But Trish backed it. And then Tim backed it because they had to move to the junior high at that point in time. He backed what we were doing, and they started. Well, then Trish left, and it kind of went by the wayside. And all of a sudden came the new behavior initiative, positive, whatever it's called. And my daughter's on that. And Farley Middle School, they got all went down to their training and said, isn't that what we've been doing?
Yeah.
Only it's a different name. And then there was more to it. You know, they got the roar. And it was good. What they revived was really good. But we did that in 1990. You know, and now it's 2000 and something. And we're back at it again.
Yeah, Madeline Hunter.
You're right. Madeline Hunter. She was another one. Oh, my God. That was the set lesson plans and how you had to present your lesson, you know, to give them. I'm going, you gotta be kidding me. And she stood up there and talked with this green dress on. She was the most boring speaker I've ever listened to. Denny had to go to it in Dubuque because Madeline Hunter made a lot of money off of school districts.
Okay.
And it was all about PE, and he would come home. He'd be so frustrated because Madeline Hunter, and he would imitate what she would say. I'm thinking, well, there is a preset for a teacher. I mean, I understand all that, but weren't we doing that? I mean, or most of us were,
yeah.
But now it became, had a name to it.
That's funny. And somebody else would come up, all of a sudden there'd be another speaker who would have this new concept, and you go through it, and then you're thinking, oh, that sounds like something we did.
Exactly. All right. But then when the teaching of math changed, like, oh my word. And it didn't affect me as much in kindergarten, but there was different terminology when we went to a new math program. But then you go up to the upper grades, and you don't even know how to teach it when you sub, because I've got to study. Because that has changed so much in the curriculum from years ago.
Yeah. But it's interesting. You know, I've been retired for a long time, but talking to different people that have kids, younger people, and some that have moved back into the area from someplace else, and they all say, we want to send our kids to West Dubuque.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
And one of my friends pointed this out to me, and I guess I never thought of it, but it was around the time when Trish came, and we were talking about our kid, you know, and she wanted to call them little bobcats. And so that's what we kind of did. Well, that kind of has caught on from all the schools, little bobcats at Dyersville, Farley, Piasta. And then there's the Cougars. I mean, they always were. Cascade was a little different because it was just those two schools. But how all of our elementary kids feed into the high school or the junior high, which were called bobcats, to the high school bobcats. And my friend said, someone said, you know, what do you really like about Western Buick? And she said, one of the things that stands out for her mind, because she graduated from Hempstead, and nobody was a Mustang before they got to Hempstead, you know, that everybody's a bobcat here, and how proud the kids are of being a bobcat.
Yeah.
If you're a little bobcat or a big bobcat, you know, the little kids carry that pride for when they get to the high school.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's amazing. I never thought of that, because it's true. Kids from little on are a bobcat.
Yep, they move on, transition through the system. And
yeah. And I think that's a great aspect that other places don't have.
Exactly, yeah.
Because they were saying, they're talking about Dubuque, and so, you know, at Jefferson Junior High, there's some type of bird, and, you know, Washington is something else, And then you became the Mustangs, you become the Rams, and nobody is little Rams or little Mustangs.
Right.
And so, yeah, so I thought that's pretty cool about Western Dubuque. But of all the years, I mean, I never thought I would have been a Bobcat when I came from Wisconsin. And, of course, being a Waller alumni, that's like the biggest torture around to be married to a alumni of Waller High School. Because if you're a Bobcat, that's always a big rivalry, you know.
How many were in your class at Waller?
I had 472. And three of us from Keeler, Wisconsin, went to Waller. So I knew not a soul when I went into Waller.
How'd you get back and forth?
My cousins, who lived on the house next on the farm, they had kids older, so that we always had to drive. So they always had one driving when we didn't have one, and then we had one driving when they didn't have one. And
okay,
so yeah, and then and the younger brothers and sisters, there was just a couple that would drive. But we always had, between the two families, we'd have four people going to Waller. So okay, we took turns driving. But yeah, it was a huge school to walk into when you're from a little town of Keeler, Wisconsin, and not know a soul. At the time, when I was at Waller, I had mono, so I missed the first week of school. And so then I could only go half days, but by then they already had the whole day of just freshmen, and they knew what they, you know, took them around the school and knew what they were doing. I had not a clue what I was doing. I was lost half the time. And fourth period was what they called exchange period, so every day you had something, PE, music, whatever. And so it was like Thursday that week I had PE, and I went to PE class, and I'm in a boys' PE class because they thought Robin was a boy. And so I was like 3 weeks down the line, I'm figuring I'm in the wrong PE class, and they had to change my whole schedule, and I just figured out where I was going then.
What a nightmare.
Yeah. But it all turned out fine. And I loved Waller. I was challenged the whole time, but we never had Iowa Basic Skills or in Wisconsin. I mean, we just didn't take those tests. And here I am, a ninth grader, and taking an Iowa Basic Skills test. And I was a straight-A student. I mean, I had good grades. But do you think I could get a decent grade on the Iowa Basic Skill?
Really?
Never. And that the first nun was so angry with me. She said, look at this report card. You didn't even try on that test. Try. I don't even know. That's what I said. It's the first time I've ever taken that test. I mean, it was so far beyond me.
Sworn thinking. To you.
And, yeah, so. And to this day, I probably only know about not even half the kids in that class. I know more now from working outside than I didn't even know in my class. That's how big it was. But when you come from St. Comichael's, who had 150 kids coming, you know, I don't know how many, but you had, at least we had 400 some. So there had to be at least 70 in Holy Ghost and St. Anthony's and St. Comichael's and Sacred Heart. They had huge classes, so they knew all these people. And
there you were just...
Yeah. So I always thought when our kids, one of the best things that ever happened was our kids went to Epworth Elementary, and Epworth Elementary was kind of secluded. It was just white children, you know, some farm kids. But when they got to Farley, then they had all the special needs, and my kids were taken back at first, like someone screaming in the hallway, you know, and I said, yeah, that's what life is, you know, this is... And from then on, they were always exposed, and I thought our schools did such a good job of incorporating the kids in, you know, integrating them long before they were probably doing it in other places, because at Waller, you never saw that at all. Didn't take place. So.
Yeah, well, listen, thanks for...
That's my story at WB.
Thanks for the visit. That's been really entertaining to see your perspective on things, and...
I forgot to say in there how much fun it was to work in Tom and Bob's office during that summer.
Was that what year was that? Must have been
1976.
Yeah, that would have been about right.
Because it was my first summer in there, and you were in the first office, and Tom was in the second. And we'd be dying laughing, and you would say something real dry, and Mary Kay and I would just—it was the funniest thing, you know. And nobody said anything; that we were dying laughing down there. I would come out every once in a while and join in on the fun. But morning from 8 to 4, they flew by.
Marilyn. It was Marilyn. Carolyn Rutz?
She was not there then. It was Debbie Heisler and Mary Kay Gatto at